the biggest moments.
One man to beat up the right sideline.
See ya, baby.
Are you kidding? 99-yard touchdown run.
The biggest games.
Back-to-back state championships.
The biggest stories from area high school sports. This is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. Alongside the dean of area high school sports, Dennis Simro, here's Hunter Vaughn.
2025 is coming to a close, so we will be doing our Prep Mania Weekly Wrapped. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. We're also brought to you by the GRB Academy. If you're interested in getting individual or group lessons from some of the highest level of coaching for the baseball player in your life, GRB Academy offers individual and group lessons for players of all ages and skill levels. Visit grbacademy.com for more information. GRB Academy, baseball for the serious player. So, Dennis, I said there that we will be doing our Prep Mania Weekly Wrapped. Do you know what I'm referencing when I say that?
Not necessarily.
Perfect. No, and I'm glad it's okay that you don't, because I'm sure there's a number of people who are either watching on the ESPN Madison YouTube, listening on the ESPN Wisconsin app, or on the radio right now who maybe don't know what it is I'm talking about with that. So for those of you that don't know, Spotify and Apple Music do this end of the year recap of all of the music that you listen to. Spotify calls theirs Spotify Wrapped. So it's your top songs you listen to, your top artists. It even gives you like your age that you should be based off of the music you listen to and things like that.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yes. So for my Apple Music, a lot of it was Taylor Swift for me. So if Apple did the age, mine would probably be like a 16-year-old girl or something like that. I just really like her music. I think she's incredible. Incredibly talented. I'm not going to apologize for that at all. But we wanted to do, or I had the idea, as we finish up the year of 2025 and we start then going into 2026, to start looking back, or actually look back at the past year in the same way that Spotify and Apple Music do that for the music you listen to. But we're going to do that with high school athletes and sports here for our final show of the year. So tonight we will be going through our top athletes of the year. We'll then go through our top stories of the year, and then we'll finish up with our top five plays from the football season as well here on Prep Mania Weekly. So we're going to begin now with our top five athletes of this past year.
Number five.
At number five, we'll start on the hardwood with Anna Miller from Edgewood High School. She's only a junior this year, but she's already verbally committed to play for the Wisconsin Badgers for basketball. And she had an awesome year last year, averaging 16.8 points per game. She was third in the team with 4.5 rebounds per game. She led the team with assists at 4.1. Just a great all-around basketball player for Edgewood, a team that lost in the state championship game this past year.
Triple overtime,
yes.
By the way.
Yes. Triple overtime.
Yes, and she was also the March Madison Sports Hall of Fame Female Athlete of the Month. And she couldn't make the meeting to get to her plaque because she was getting ready for a recital. She was on the piano.
Yep.
And so she's a very talented athlete. This is the first commit for the class of 2027 for Coach. Robin Pinchot's done a great job so far. Their Badgers are 8-0 at home. And to get that wall around the state, like Barry Alvarez said, you got to start. Mm-hmm. And she's got a girl from Rice Lake and another one from Shawano coming in, Pewaukee in the next year. And then now, for 27, Anna. And her sophomore year, she led him to state. It was like, who is this? Anybody who knew basketball at the AAU mm-hmm. level knew she'd been a great player for years. And her brother's over at Madison Memorial.
Yep.
So I'm sure Marcus Flowers would love to have her over there too. Mm-hmm. But no, she's an Edgewood girl. And she's just been, she's already battle tested. And she's going to have a chance to get a I think, two more titles because she and Beanie Thompson, one of her running mates, another junior, will be the back for two more years. And they've started a little slow this year with three losses, but Coach Stavnis goes out and gets the toughest competition, all the different styles, so by the time they get to state. You know, we did their regionals 2 years ago, and they just rolled over two teams to get to the sectionals and then state. But, Anna's an outstanding student-athlete. She's a great shooter from three-point range, about 37%. Shoots over 50% from the floor as a guard. And, again, just an outstanding and she's been an all-state player first 2 years on the WBCA Wisconsin basketball coaches.
Yeah, and I would assume all things going the way that they should, that'll probably be two more as well. So she will probably be a four-time All-State player.
And she's got to wait till next year to be a Miss Basketball candidate because that's only seniors.
Yes. So Anna Miller, our number five athlete of the year. We now move over to the football field.
Number four.
Will Mikanowicz from Reedsburg. Just a few stats for people who maybe didn't pay attention during the football season on Will. He combined for 48 touchdowns on the year, 42 of them rushing, one of them through the air, and then four more of them on punt returns. He also had a pick six on the season for his 48 total touchdowns, over 3,000 all-purpose yards, and he just came a few seconds away from winning a state title for Reedsburg, but they ended up losing that game on a walk-off game-winning field goal. But an awesome season for Will Mikanowicz of Reedsburg, and now he's a preferred walk-on to go to the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, in that championship game, he had the one-yard touchdown run, and then Reedsburg went for two. I love it.
Yep.
And they got it, but then Grafton came down the field and got the touchdown. But you look at that, he averaged 9 yards a carry. He started out the season as a quarterback. He was a quarterback, and there was an injury. They decided to move to running back, and talking to the coach afterwards going, what were we thinking? Well, what was the quarterback? So it showed his versatility. He is actually a preferred walk-on at Wisconsin.
Yep.
They're going to look at him at safety first. But he's, when you recruit, they talk about athletes, not positions, but recruit him as an athlete, that's where he falls into play. And he's one of the traditional Badgers that maybe doesn't get the scholarship, but what Jimmy Leonard, look at what he did when he came in. He was a walk-on here from little Tony, and he ended up being a three-time All-American. And Mikanowicz just had an outstanding season. When you can 3,022 all-purpose yards, oh my God.
It's ridiculous. And again,
this is a fantasy stud. If we ever did a high school, in Kingston Allen, up at Green Bay and Notre Dame. And you look at, other players that were all state. But he was all state on both sides of the ball, which makes it even more important. Yeah, running back. And he wasn't even a running back for the first few games. But you look at what he did in the playoffs. He got more yards in four or five playoff games than most guys get in 10 regular season games.
Yeah, he was. You mentioned that with him being a preferred walk-on to Wisconsin. He's the exact type of guy. We talked about it back during the football season about how the Badgers need to go after guys like this, get these local kids, these area kids, these in-state guys who, maybe they're not going to be a scholarship guy, but they grew up cheering for the Badgers. You can just get them in to your facility and then figure it out from there. He's the type of guy who they're looking at him for safety, but I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 years he's playing for Wisconsin and it's a different position than safety.
Yeah, Wisconsin's always been, a kind of developmental school. And now with the NIL and the portal and everything else, it's very tough to do. But you can still do it with certain players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like bringing in McCoy Smith from Wanakee, another one.
Yep.
That he's been a stud defensive lineman, but maybe he doesn't match up with the numbers there. They need, right size, right weight. But hey, he's an athlete. Let's see what he can do at fullback. And he just has a couple of lessons with Coach Rice, and his head coach. And you look and boom, wow. We could see him in red and white, cardinal and white. Yeah,
exactly. Speaking of athletes, our number three.
Number three.
We go to Mount Horeb with Hayden Anderson. A three-sport athlete is our number three top athlete of the year. He was all-conference in football, and then he won conference titles in football and basketball here in 2025.
Yeah, he actually ended up being an All-State player too, as well for Mount Horeb, and Mount Horeb has won now 5 straight conference, or at least a share of.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they got upset by Edgewood, but then when Sauk Prairie beat Edgewood, we had a 3-way tie, so he still got that. He's a 3.7 student coming into the year, and he also plays third base and pitches in baseball. And one of his teammates, Brooke Hendrickson, is going to North Dakota, so he's graduating in December. But I talked to Hayden again over the weekend at the 608 tournament, and he wanted to be a 3-sport athlete all the way through and finish that. So right now, he had a great game. He had 14 points in the showcase game at the 608 tournament. So he's going to be counted on to be a heavy contributor in basketball, and he has been a starter in baseball for a couple of years as well. So you got the prototypical student athlete for ESPN Madison, UW Credit Union student athlete, and he was one in September. Mm-hmm. So when I look back at all the student athletes they did over the year, it's very tough now for kids to have more than one sport. A lot of the kids we profile are at least 2. Occasionally we have a 1 because they're such a great athlete and they make such a big commitment to the community. But he's going to be going to St. Thomas, you know, Division I school now,
yep,
to play football. And he's another one. He could be up there and could end up moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we talk about go someplace where they love you, and then see what happens. You know,
yep.
Jerry Kaminsky did that, Sun Prairie up at North Dakota. But after the season he had, I'm sure there might be some D1s out there going, this guy fits because he's a dual quarterback. Well, Hayden last year was a tight end, and they realized he's 6'6". They moved him out to receiver. He had a great end of the year, and this year, how do you – an athlete like he is, how do you stop that? You throw it up there, a jump ball?
Mm-hmm.
With a 6-foot defensive back, there's no chance.
Yeah.
So he had great. Ended up this year with 51 catches, 681 yards, was a 13-yard average, and 11 touchdowns. So, and I'm looking forward to some great things from Hayden the rest of the year.
Absolutely. As we are counting down our top 5 athletes from 2025, we're on now to the track.
Number 2.
And number 2 is Nicole Repka from Verona. Nicole, a track athlete, she broke a 33-year-old Big 8 conference record in the 400. She's now at UW, but that it almost pales into comparison to what she did over in lacrosse at State this past year and really the last 2 years.
Yeah, the record that she broke at Verona was it was Charlie Rockwire. Charlie Larson, that was her name. By the way, she's a social worker. She mentored my daughter, who's a social worker.
Oh, okay.
And I remember her saying, is Dennis your dad? Because in the show, and there's some stories they mm-hmm. wrote about that Charlie was just a stud. She won the 100, 200, and 400 and led the Wildcats to state. Well, what did Nicole do? She repeated as a 400 state champion,
mm-hmm.
and she also ran relays. So she's had an outstanding year. She was one of our profiles in the spring. And we look forward to some great things with her as a Badger.
Yeah, absolutely. Winning the 400 and that 4x4 at State and going back-to-back in the 400 as well in State. Nicole Repka, our number 2 athlete. And we cheated in this next one for our final of our top 5 athletes.
Number 1.
We had to go with 3 brothers. So for those of you maybe rolling your eyes at this, just give Dennis and I a moment here. In McFarland, the Tabeast brothers, Shane, Blake, and Kale, the most dominant threesome of high school swimmers that you're going to find. McFarland, an absolute machine when it comes to swimming. But these guys, the record that Blake and Kale have a chance to go after. So Ben McDade of Monona Grove has the state record right now. He won 15 of 16 events in his career at the state swimming meet. And then another swimmer from McFarland, Ryan O'Donnell, he finished with 14 of 16 that he won. Blake and Kale right now are both 8 for 8 in their first 2 years of swimming. So we've got a record watch with those two. The oldest of the 3, Shane, is going to Indiana University, Indianapolis, to swim. But these 3 brothers, just absolutely incredible. We couldn't just pick one of them. We had to take all 3 for our top athlete of the year.
Well, you mentioned the McDade with the 15. Well, Shane competed in 4 events all through high school. He was on the podium 15 of 16.
Yep.
He had 8 first places, 3 seconds, 3 thirds, a 6th, and a 7th. and he swam on the 200 medley relay and 400 freestyle that were first his sophomore, junior, and senior year. Also, two straight state titles for him. Now the brothers are going to see if they can expand that. But there was a great senior class. So besides the Blake and Kale, they're going to have to. Rest of the team's going to have to step it up a little bit, I think. But
yep.
McFarland's just been a dominant. They got a new pool a few years ago, and we actually profiled an ESPN Madison student athlete of the week. UW Credit Union student athlete of the week was Shane was last spring.
Yep.
And he was kind of quiet at first, but when you talk about his brothers, yeah, there's a little bit of chip that his younger brothers have won a few more than he has. For them, the best thing about Shane was moving on, they get their own bedroom. Because they had to share a bedroom, and Shane got his own. Well, now their brothers split that up. But, Blake competed in four events, too. He had back-to-back titles in the 100 back and 200 individual medley, along with back-to-back 200 medley and 400 freestyle relays. And Kale is a two-time butterfly champ, back-to-back 200 freestyle relay, and then has a 50 freestyle title and a 200 medley relay title. You're like... These guys are incredible.
Yep.
But McFarland, by the way, has won 54 state swimming events over the years. The three brothers have been a part of 8 relay champions and 7 individual titles.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible for them. I respect McFarland so much and their swimming program. I swam in high school in Division II. Those 4 years that I swam in Division II for swimming, couldn't stand McFarland because they were also in Division II and they were the worst because they were ridiculously good. It's the same way college football fans, they hate Alabama and Georgia for winning all of the time, but you kind of respect them. That's how I felt about McFarland. Just such a good program, and the Tabis brothers keeping that tradition alive. This is Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly as we are doing our Prep Mania Weekly wrapped on the year. Coming up after the break, we are going to look back at our top 5 stories from 2025. So you'll want to stick around for that, as well as our top 5 plays coming up a little bit later on. We're also brought to you by Stoughton Health. They've been providing trusted care close to home, and they are proud to support the student athletes from around the area. From rehab to ortho care, Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more today. The top 5 stories of the year coming up next on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
You're listening to Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly, breaking down more from this week in area high school sports next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We're looking back at 2025 here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. It's our Prep Mania Weekly Wrapped. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrow. The Orthopedic and Spine Centers of Wisconsin, you can use your end-of-year health benefits before they disappear. They've got you covered with same-day appointments and walk-ins welcome. Head to their location just off the Beltline. Don't wait. Your benefits won't roll over, but you can roll right into Orthopedic and Spine Centers of Wisconsin today. Last segment, we counted down our top 5 athletes of the year. Now, we'll be counting down our top 5 stories from the past year.
Number 5.
This was one that we talked a ton about with the football coaches during our coaches roundtable to start our football season. But at number 5, it was the unlimited contact days coming in. So previously, for those that don't know, if you were a high school football coach, you had a limited number of days that you could have any contact with your players. So if that is literally a quarterback asks you about, hey, I don't know what to do against X coverage, if you talk to them about it, they would consider that a contact day.
And you had 5 of those,
yes,
in the summer.
5, and that was it. They said, nope, we're going to let you have as many as you want. And that was a big change for the WIAA to allow that. And we talked a ton about it with all of the coaches.
Yeah, and part of that was because a lot of people were violating it, whatever.
Yep.
Now, you had coaches that would, for example, they would have a 3-on-3 or a 7-on-7, 3-on-3 basketball, 7-on-7 tournaments in the summer. And they might go to watch. They couldn't say anything. They could watch, but they couldn't have any contact with athletes. Now they could, hey, if they had a break, they can go up and say, okay, I see this. Are you looking at these reads or whatever? And or be able to sit down. If a coach, if a kid wanted to go over some game film, they could do that with their coach.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, they could just make it available to them, but the coach couldn't have that contact. So, but that affected a lot of other sports because we had football coaches that would sit down with the basketball coach, with the baseball coach, with the track coach, on any summer activities, and say, let's get on the same page so that we're not overextending these kids because they're still kids.
Yep.
And the summer was meant for baseball and swimming. Now it's basketball and soccer and hockey and everything else is going on. The multiple sport athlete is dying because every sport is now year round.
Yep.
And the three sport athletes aren't only dinosaurs. The three sport coaches are gone now.
I can't imagine a coach coaching multiple sports. No. It's crazy to me.
You can do now track and cross country. You can be a cross country coach, and then you coach the distance runners in the spring. But you're not responsible for the pole vaulters, the shot putters.
Yep, the sprinters. Yep.
So you can work that out. But it's very difficult. But all the coaches that we talked to pretty much said they either kept it the same from they weren't going to put them in pads all summer. Now, I talked to some coaches from around the state and some successful programs. They used that for contact, and they literally went out and did more. Well, that's going to cause some controversy with the other sports because I'm sure the basketball coach didn't like it because they got to be here instead of at a game.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, most of them just kept it the same. But it was that one-on-one contact or film or evaluation or whatever where they could, you know, if they wanted it. Now, after, for example, all the teams lift weights in the summer, then afterwards they could use like 30 minutes. Coach Ackley at McFarland did this. Mm-hmm. I got my linemen out for one, maybe 30-minute session a week, or our special teams, or you could do something. And the kids wanted it for that part.
They definitely did. So we're counting down our top five stories of the year. Unlimited contact days was number five.
Number four.
Name, image, and likeness coming to the WIAA and the state of Wisconsin at the high school level. Dennis, this was one that when it had been voted on back in 2024, it didn't pass. They made a few tweaks and changes to it. It is very strict for those that don't know this is even a thing because you can't have anything indicating the sport that you play. You can't have anything indicating what school you go to. They're very restrictive on what the NIL is. But this allows some players to work different summer camps and things like that, and then they can get money for working those camps and some things of that nature. But NIL is now here in the state of Wisconsin, and it is something that you can have athletes getting paid by businesses.
Yeah, that's the one thing is that right now it's not a problem, but you can see down the road if things get loosened up a little bit. Say Johnny is at Fond du Lac, and Kakana says, "Hey, you come over here. I can give you this money." Now, with the transfer rules, you have to physically move, or you can only transfer before your sophomore year. Your freshman year, it's game. Mm-hmm. Once you're a sophomore, that's it. You have to sit out a year. And if they say no, now here's where the lawsuits come in. And of course, the WIAA hates to get sued. Nobody likes to get sued, to be honest. But so this is one that, okay, it's out there now, but it's something to evaluate over the next couple of years.
Yep.
Because right now for a business, if I can't say you're a quarterback and all this, now some people might recognize you, but I'm going after the people that don't recognize you. And it's like, well, why is that guy advertising your product?
Yep.
And so, but now it does...
It's opened the door where this could be impactful down the road, which is why we put that at number four, counting down our top stories from 2025.
Number three
is one that did not pass, and it got a lot of people very fired up, including myself here, Hunter Vaughn. The shot clock did not come to basketball for the boys or the girls yet again. One of the few states left in the entire country that does not have a shot clock at the high school level. So teams can just run their offense as long as they want. I'm not bothered about it at all, Dennis. Doesn't irritate me at all. Doesn't feel like the WIAA is a bunch of dinosaurs at all and the member schools for turning this down. But here we are. No shot clock. Number three.
Well, I did talk to Coach Severin from Yorkville at the 608 tournament, and I asked about the shot clock. He says, no, we don't have it, but it's coming in next year in Illinois. But he also made the comment. I said, so what am I looking for? And he goes, if we don't take a shot within 10 seconds, we're in trouble. For them, it was get down as fast as you can before defense is set up. So that's not a problem for a lot of programs. What it is the teams that the Blair Taylor coach had said, yeah, but if by slowing it down and limiting the possessions, that's how Dick Bennett was successful. Limit the other team's possessions. Run as much time as you can. That now with the shot clock, that takes that out of play. Now, but we're looking at the last part of the game where somebody's going to hold the ball.
Exactly.
And we want it. So the pros have a shot clock. International has the shot clock. Matter of fact, if you're a 10- or 12-year-old playing over in Europe, you got a shot clock. So why not? And part of the reasons it did pass at one point, but then the administrators were really unhappy because they thought they got bypassed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like just like pulling teeth to get them in. But the WBCA is working on it. That we're trying to reach out to people. But it's interesting trying to reach out to some of the people that are of getting to vote on this that don't return phone calls or don't want to deal with it because they're – no. That we're trying to find out, okay, who said no? Well, why?
And then they don't want to say why.
Because football got what they wanted and wrestling's gotten what they wanted. And volleyball's gotten what they wanted, and basketball coaches feel like they're getting slighted.
And we will talk more about football coaches getting what they wanted, but first, we've got to talk about wrestling.
Number two.
For the first time ever in the state of Wisconsin, we crowned a girls' wrestling team championship, and that team champion were the Milton Redhawks. Shout out Riley Yauch, alma mater. The Milton Red Hawks.
And his dad's the head coach.
Yes.
Yeah, Pat's a great guy. What this means now is the girls are getting, okay, what the guys have now. Last year, I've covered the state wrestling tournament forever.
One of your favorite tournaments to cover.
I love it because the Saturday night when they turn the lights out, the Parade of Champions. Well, last year when I was over there, it was amazing how many girls, walking around because they have, instead of six mats, they had eight mats out, six for the guys, two for the girls. They decided they were going to add a team component. Well, this year it was individual points added up, and then they crowned a champ.
Yep.
In the 2026-27 season, the girls will have their own team state tournament. Because of that, starting this next year, they are moving the team tournament out of the field house to La Crosse Center.
Mm-hmm.
Because adding the extra mats for the girls, it's just not possible. You don't have the room in the field house. And for someone that grew up with it, it's insane to cover, and as a fan, it's like a zoo over there. And having been at the Lacrosse Center during the pandemic year for basketball, phenomenal facility, so that's great. But girls wrestling has just exploded to the point that it's not girls wrestling with the guys.
Yep.
Girls teams now are coming out. And it used to be, to get the state was pretty easy in some sectionals. Nobody to compete against? Okay, you go right to the state. Now it's going to get tougher and tougher because for the guys, you got to go through regional sectionals, all these steps to go through. They also expanded the Division II and III to dominate additional mats because they've expanded the number of teams in those divisions. So, but the big thing for the girls is because they are going to get their own tournament, and it is teams, not an individual.
Yep, and this year was that first step forward, getting that team, and that's why we wanted to highlight that as being such an impact. And the growth of girls' sports and girls' wrestling has been awesome. So that's why that was our number two.
And it was only fitting that Milton was one of the ones because either Milton and you look at Lodi, you look at Mineral Point, look at Stoughton.
Yep.
I mean, those are the teams that we've expected from our area to excel at it.
Absolutely. And we have one more of our top five stories of 2025.
Number one.
This one was pretty obvious for Dennis and I. It was a no-brainer. The addition of the playoff matrix. Dennis said football got what they wanted. There were issues with the old format of the playoff system where teams had to be above 500 in their conference record in order to qualify, and then based on the number of the Division I schools that qualified, then you got pushed to Division II, so you had no idea what division some schools were in. They changed it all. You got points for beating teams. If you didn't beat anybody, you didn't get points, and then you already knew what division every school was in. We could track it all season long, and we have the playoff matrix as our top story from 2025.
And a local team was affected by a year ago. Madison West should have been in the tournament. The WIU misread the rules, and they were one of two teams to get eliminated.
And then Edgewood shouldn't have gotten in, and they did.
Teams that got in. So it's ironic. It's the Edgewood coaches that actually came up with this, and it's a formula similar to what was done in Ohio. And what was cool about it was that you knew, again, what you needed to do. Now, Madison Memorial a year ago, and I was talking with people, oh, we got four conference wins, we're in. It's who, it's not, you can't beat the four bottom feeders. You got to beat
you have to beat good teams to get the multiplier to be able to get enough points.
So Madison Memorial was 4-5. A year ago, they would have been in the playoffs. This year, they were not. And coach said, we knew coming in. Now, if they lost to West in overtime, if they would have beaten them, that would have been enough points to get them over that hump. But there were 32 teams in each division. They were number 33.
Yep.
So, but again, the last 3 weeks, we could talk about that. And okay,
we had a bubble watch. We were trying to predict you win this game. Does that give you enough? But then teams were losing. It was great for the sport. It brought awesome attention across all the divisions with it. And it gave a level of transparency to playoffs that you want to see. Because unlike basketball, not everyone gets into the playoffs for football.
Right, and you knew who the number one seeds were, too.
Exactly.
So, and that was a big factor.
Yep.
But how successful was it?
Incredibly.
At the state tournament, six of the divisions had unbeaten champions.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that had a one-loss one?
Division One.
Exactly, yep. So, and that had never happened before.
Yep.
Every year. And I think Reedsburg, as a three seed, was the lowest one to make it.
Yes.
And they almost could have won it. I mean, that would have been pretty cool, but they ended up losing to Grafton, which was unbeaten.
Yep, and we will hear more from that game between Grafton and Reedsburg coming up next as we are doing our Prep Mania Weekly Wrapped, looking back at the year of 2025. Coming up next, we're going to look back at the top five plays from the high school football season. Coming up next, we're brought to you by Madison College, and Madison College has been around for over 100 years right here in our community. They've grown to 7 campuses all across South Central Wisconsin, including 3 in Madison. Whether you're starting fresh or leveling up your career, Madison College is here for you. Learn more at madisoncollege.edu. That's madisoncollege.edu. Coming up next, our top 5 plays from the football season here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly.
More of Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly coming up next on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
I'm Hunter Vaughn, here with me, the dancing Dean, Dennis Sumrau, as we are looking back at 2025 here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania Weekly. We had our top 5 stories and our top 5 athletes. Now it's time for our top 5 plays. But first, I got to tell you about Gruber Law Offices. They have a reputation for winning. Their experienced, powerful team works tirelessly to help people and families seriously injured in accidents by providing the best care and service. There's never a fee until they win your case. Gruber Law Offices has been serving the people and state of Wisconsin for over 35 years. One call, Dennis.
That's all.
That's right. We're now going to count down our top 5 plays from the football season, and we'll begin with a state semifinal game.
Number 5.
This was a game between Arrowhead and Wanakee. It was an all-time classic game, a defensive battle. We saw some big plays in this game, but it came down to one of the best kickers in the entire state, Cam DeBoer, with 1:03 left.
33 had a 34-yarder blocked earlier. They are set. The snap. The ball is down. The kick is up. and it is good.
And that was what would be the game winner between Wanakee and Arrowhead. Arrowhead winning that game 19-17 to get them to Camp Randall and back to getting eventually a state championship.
Yeah, Coach Graverson's team, I'll tell you, 2 years now they're in Division I for sure, not even by the success factor.
Yep.
And they were so close this year, unbeaten until that point. Great year for the Warriors.
Absolutely. As we continue on, we now go to Camp Randall for a state championship game.
Number four.
We talked about Will Mikanowicz earlier. He had a 1 yard touchdown run late in the game. The Reedsburg got the 2-point conversion. They had a 15-14 lead with a minute 38 left. But Grafton would not be denied. They drive down the field to attempt a 35-yard field goal.
To win a state championship. Snap is good. Kick is down. The kick is good! He hit it! He hit it! 6 seconds left on the clock. What a moment for that senior Grayson Bolick.
Grafton would win 17-15 to win a Division III title over Reedsburg.
Great season for the Beavers and for Mikanowicz. And as we talked about earlier, now a preferred walk-on at Wisconsin. One of the finest football players I've seen in a long time. What he brought to that. And, boy, they just too much time left on the clock. Grafton was able to get that field goal.
Yeah, it was just, again, too much time. And it felt like in the moment being there in Camp Randall, it felt like those times when Aaron Rodgers got the ball.
Right.
And you're just like, there's too much time. Like, there's just way too much time left, and sure enough, it was. And Grafton won the Division III title game. We're counting down our top five plays from the football season.
Number three.
This one, not a playoff game. This was our first game of the year, but Brady Kaufman, he hit a home run in the first game of the season.
At about the 1/4-inch yard line for Sun Prairie East. Here's the snap, handoff, Kaufman running right, has a block, turns it upfield to the 25-30. Look at Kaufman go to midfield. One man to beat up the right sideline.
See ya, baby.
99-yard touchdown run, Brady Kaufman.
Brady Kaufman's 99-yard touchdown run. It's in our open for this show even. That's how big of a play it was. And it was just like, we're going to use this. We're going to run with it all season because it was that great of a play from Brady Kaufman.
Yeah, that set the stage. But after Verona tied it, it ended up Van Vogler had the game winner. They had an 80-yard touchdown pass. But I'm sorry, 99 yards beats 80 in any game. So we went with that one. And an outstanding run. Unfortunately, After Kaufman set the school record for rushing, he went out with an injury, and he'll be going on now to college ball.
So we're counting down our top five plays from the football season.
Number two.
This one, we head over to Monona Grove and defensive back Henry Hogan in level two of the playoffs, taking on Germantown with a huge interception to seal that victory.
One on the right. Inga takes the snap, rolling out to his left, sets his feet, fires,
pick
and
up.
It's intercepted by Monona Grove. Right back at you. Henry Hogan down the sideline.
Oh, baby, he's gone.
Secretariat at the Belmont.
I love Riley Yauch, but that was one of the most ridiculous lines I've ever heard. Secretariat at the Belmont. It's so good. Monona Grove would win that game over Germantown 28-14. MG would then fall in level three to an awesome Homestead team in a late game. Homestead scoring a late touchdown in that one, but a great season for Monona Grove. We had to include that one in our top five.
It was just they had a chance to run the clock out and then end up losing yardage on a run and then throwing a pick. And you're thinking, oh no, they're going to come back and Germantown's going to, you know, remember he headed for overtime, mm-hmm. and then Henry Hogan, who he had, I think they caught a touchdown pass over him, but he had two breakups in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll always remember that one. It'll be 101 yards by the time he's our age.
Absolutely. we are counting down our top five plays from the year, and we've got one game left.
Number one.
And we had to go with this play. It was the no-brainer play of the year for us. In the final football game of the season, Arrowhead and Bayport. Bayport trying to get back-to-back state championships. They thought they had it until Ryan Hyman, a state track winner.
He's up at the 25, the 40, the 35, the 40.
He's gone!
It's a foot race for Hyman at the 40, the 30, the 20. He's going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Arrowhead Warhawks. With 35 seconds left, there's no flags on the field. And Arrowhead retakes the lead.
Ryan Hyman, 76 yards after Bayport scored a touchdown to take the lead. And again, there was 46 seconds left when they were kicking it off in that one, Dennis. And you and I, along with Verona head coach Andrew Riley, were like, ooh, the kicking's been weird. The Bayport had tried some surprise onside kicks in the second half because they were worried about special teams. And sure enough, in the worst possible time, Arrowhead, if you're a Bayport fan, Arrowhead had a big play.
And we talked about Coach Riley, and I talked about the Big Ten logo. Put it about there or kick it out of bounds. Put it on 35, but you don't want to kick it down in the middle of the field. He kicked it right down the middle of the field. And you have a state track champion who is part of a state record relay.
Yep.
He's also the 100-meter champion. We were waiting for a big play like that. As soon as he got his hands on it, you got excited like, oh, please, no flags, no flags. And
yep.
There were none.
Well, and then we talked to his head coach, Matt Harris, then the following week after that game. And he said, he was like, as soon as I saw the alley, I was like, there's just that one guy he's got to get past. And he made a diving tackle at him, and then he was just gone. There was no one that was going to catch him. And he was off to the races to win that. And Ryan Hyman winning the game for Arrowhead. And you know what else is a winning play, Dennis? Pizza Hut and their triple treat box, and it's back. Two medium pizzas, breadsticks, and a dessert starting at just $19.99. Feed your crew before the game, after the game, or while you watch the triple treat box only at Pizza Hut. Order now at pizzahut.com. Pizza Hut, the official pizza of Prep Mania. Dennis, we're done with 2025. We're on to 2026. Real quick, what are you looking forward to in 2026 for high school sports?
Is Wisconsin Lutheran going to take another title this year and make it a three-peat? I think so.
I think so.
I want to see them play. They're playing an elite tournament over the holidays. But see the Knipple brothers and watch Big Brother playing in the NBA. But Ryan Walls has got a special team over there. We're talking Hurst. Maybe the beginning of a historic run.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That will do it for our Prep Mania Wrapped. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back to it on the ESPN Wisconsin app or wherever you get your podcasts. For our producer, Owen Dimfel, and the Dean, Dennis Sumrow, I'm Hunter Vaughn. We will see you in 2026.